All right there, Joel Radio is back with you. How you doing? America, Canada, Europe,
Swaziland.
Asia. Swaziland, oh, we're big there.
Mbutu.
Of course.
Grenada.
Yeah. Got fans there.
I learned a lot of countries watching the Olympics.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Truck Islands.
I'm glad you learned something.
Djibouti. Well, that's my favorite part of the Olympics.
I thought, like, there's countries, like, if you just wanted to be, if you wanted to do, like, the shot put, and you're from, like, Uganda or something, and they have no shot put team.
Yeah.
That they kind of have to let you go do the shot put or something?
I think you can, like, if you establish residency in the country, you can play for the,
but like, but I thought, like, just the actual make the team in some countries, that there's really nothing to it. They pretty much just send you. Like, they can't.
A guy won a gold medal in from Grenada.
Yeah.
And that was the first, or you say Grenada.
Yeah, Grenada.
And I say Grenada, whatever. Yeah. We threw Grenadas in that thing. A guy won a gold medal from Grenada. It was the first gold medal they'd ever won.
Oh.
And they said that it was like a country of 135,000 people.
Yeah.
So that's like Warren and Ferndale together.
Yeah, it's like a tiny.
Right, you know what I mean? Like,
right, it's a.
Like, we live in a metropolitan area where everywhere I go, there's 100,000 people.
Yeah, there's 100,000 people within a mile of you.
Right.
And Grenada's a whole city.
I live Troy, there's like 80,000 in Troy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm almost bigger than the country of Grenada.
We live in a densely populated area, unlike Grenada.
And it's densely populated because it's an island.
But it's,
so they all live on top of each other.
It is not largely populated.
No.
Not maybe it is
so
dense.
They do that parade of nations and all these little, like, tiny island, you know.
Yeah.
Mindanao. Well, that's actually in the Philippines.
Yeah, I was asleep during the parade of nations.
Oh, good.
Because I couldn't take that opening ceremony. I can't take the NBC. I couldn't take anything with that Olympics.
Couldn't deal with it.
It's funny because I love, like, England, and I'm an Anglophile on some level. Not the most hardcore,
Aren't we all?
But you know what? I didn't give two shits about their Olympics. I think when England throws a party, it's a big piece of shit, generally speaking. Like, I love day-to-day British culture, but when England decides to put on its fucking bells and its, you know, and all its pageantry, I think it's fucking boring and stupid.
Wow. I thought it was interesting. Danny Boyle was the, like, creative director of the Olympics. And it is cool to see all the stuff.
Yeah.
The Olympic ceremony. Chinese were nuts.
The Chinese are nuts, but they invented fireworks, so we'll give them something. But
the Chinese were just like, we're going to throw. We have a billion people, so what we'll do, is like 20,000 of you will be your new job is to work. on the opening ceremony.
Yeah.
And we'll have 20,000 of you in this opening ceremony, just running around,
slave labor.
Right. And they were like living in they were in little tiny boxes. The Chinese thing was nuts.
Yeah.
And the English one was more.
They tried to tell a story or something.
Yeah, it was
more
pageantry.
But I find that dull. I find that England gets very excited about weddings. The millennium was one of the biggest embarrassments. It was the year two. We were turning into the year 2000.
That was an embarrassment.
And England lost their fucking minds.
Watching Piers Morgan fucking do coverage on CNN, I could have watched that all day.
Yeah, I was very bored with the. And I'm bored with the. The tape delay of the events, and then people don't know, but everyone knows because everyone has Twitter. And it just becomes like NBC. It's like a shell game with NBC where they can't really tell you who won, but we already know who won, and we're going to save it for a certain amount of time, but then you got to watch 50,000 packages about an athlete and, you know, how they come from a broken home and, you know, daddy made them eat glass when they were kids.
They do a backstory.
But they're the world's greatest synchronized swimmers now, and you just go, show me the fucking event.
I'm under the impression that the same producing staff of the Today Show takes over the Olympics.
Oh, I think so. I mean, it's the Olympics is sports for women. It's for chicks.
It is.
We've said this before about the Olympics show. Yeah. It's for chicks. It's sports that's made for chicks. It's packaged. It's nice. Oh, U.S. guy didn't win? Guess what? You don't see that. Oh, what? It's not. Oh, I don't know. That event didn't happen.
Right.
Because our guy didn't win. So they just selectively take it off. And you just sit there and you just go, wow,
and a lot of people bitched about how it was covered and where it was covered. All right, so they had, We'll do a quick Olympic recap.
Oh, God.
They had, okay, so they had all the NBC channels.
Right.
How many channels did they have?
It's huge because it's like even like Bravo had stuff.
I think they had it on MSNBC.
Right. CNBC.
They had it on Bravo, CNBC.
There's NBC Sports.
NBC Sports.
USA Network.
USA Network. I think Animal Planet.
I don't know if they did.
They should have the horse racing.
AT&T Uverse, because they're like the international sponsor. They had... We had a dedicated basketball and a dedicated soccer channel.
Oh, okay.
So you got stuff above and, you
know,
and beyond.
And you know what I saw zero of?
What's that?
In the entire Olympics, all 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I saw every fucking sport you can imagine.
Yeah.
I saw zero judo.
I don't even know when the judo was on.
I didn't see one. Yeah, I go, when are you going to watch judo the rest of the
week? It was on one of those channels at 3 in the morning.
I don't think judo's the most exciting sport in the world.
No.
But it's a foundational sport if you like MMA.
Oh, yeah. The MMA blogs covered the judo and the freestyle wrestling.
I did judo as a kid, so I kind of understand a little bit of what's going on. And I would have wanted to watch a couple minutes. I got fencing.
Yeah, yeah.
I got, here's the dumbest one, trampoline.
I didn't see
that. Was ridiculous. Okay, please.
Well, water polo is another
trampoline. You and I could dump bounce on a trampoline. We wouldn't look good.
Right.
But we could, it's not, you know what I mean? When the equipment's doing the work.
It's not as, yeah.
Fucking trampoline.
Yeah.
Trampampoline. We got synchronized swimming.
Yeah.
Field hockey. Did you see that?
I didn't see it, but
hockey. And it was like a blue field that they were on.
See, I don't even.
They were on like a heart. It was kind of like. Not AstroTurf. It was a weird rubbery surface.
Right, I saw kayaking.
Sure.
I saw, like I said, water polo, which is one of the fucking dumbest things you'll ever see.
Water polo. 70% of the action is underneath the water.
Yeah,
they're moving and you can't see. And you just see like little arms and they, that water polo. And it does, to me, it doesn't look like, I'm like, what's the challenge?
Tons of volleyball. Volleyball's big.
Well, you know what?
Volleyball, you can't get enough volleyball.
When it's like the court volleyball,
yeah,
that's kind of like a regular sport.
Right.
And I go, I'll watch a couple
but
minutes.
But not the beach volleyball?
Beach is stupid.
First of all, can I say something about beach volleyball, irregardless of the Olympics or whatever? Mm-hmm. But America, we're losing the race for hottest Olympic athletes. Our beach volleyball chicks are kind of ugly and they're weird looking. And then you see like Belarus will send the Czech Republic will send a beach volleyball team, and they look like the typical California beach girls that you would expect to see play beach volleyball. And then our beach volleyball girls are big, tall, horse faced monsters. They are ugly freaks of nature.
The difference is that here's the thing: the gold medal game was two American teams.
Okay,
right. So we're good at it.
Yeah,
but sometimes like Anna Kournikova. Being good at it and being attracted, you know what I mean?
Right. But
there'll be a chick who's famous for being, okay, remember Gabrielle Sanchez?
Sure.
Not Gabrielle Reese.
I know who you're talking about.
Gabby Sabatini.
She was a tennis player.
Yeah, and she was a mediocre tennis player.
And I sat next to her in a London Burger King during Wimbledon.
Did you?
One time, yeah.
But remember everybody was like drooling over her.
Sure, yeah, she was the hottest
chick. There'll be that hot tennis chick.
There's a hot chick, yeah.
Maria Sharapova kind of blows the curve because she's good.
She's good
and hot.
Yeah.
But usually you're either the hot one or you're Lindsay Davenport and you look like your face.
Right.
You look like a bulldog stopped a truck. I mean, Lindsay Davenport, brutal. Yeah. And I'm with you. But our girls were good,
but didn't our chicks used to be hot?
Well, Gabrielle Reese
was hot.
But see, that's the only problem. She was the one. She was like a superstar.
No,
Gabrielle Reese got like
nasty.
Didn't she get? She got like MTV House of Style or
some
crap, right?
She was out
because
of
they were like, hey, this chick's hot and she's a pretty decent volleyball player.
Yeah. But, well, I don't know when, but when did we lose that? When did we lose?
Did you see like the Estonian shot put women and stuff? I mean, that was
The
hottest. We're going back to the League of Nations marching.
Yeah,
it was a real tight race. I thought between Sweden, Denmark, had some grade A Tukey. You know, Brazil was partying too hard.
Yeah.
You know,
Eastern Europe's really coming up with the broads.
They really are. I mean, Scandinavia is tough to beat. They're a perennial powerhouse.
Right. You talk about Lithuania and Estonia, Czech Republic. You get your
Netherlands, Sweden.
Yeah. Well,
Denmark.
Those are always the Nordics.
Those are always competitive.
Yeah.
Right.
But Eastern Europe is rising.
They're bringing it
fast.
Up.
Yeah.
Yeah. They used to be brutal.
Well, they're all Western now.
Latvia.
The girls have access to, you know, they can pluck their eyebrows and shit now in Eastern Europe.
Who is partying hardest? I think I'm going to put a vote in.
By the way, I'm going to call bullshit on something. You can go ahead and then I'll go ahead. this Olympic Village is an orgy is bullshit. I guarantee fucking you the Olympic Village is, and it's every story is 50 million condoms were distributed to the Olympic. No, they're not. Listen, here's what happens.
Yeah.
They have a couple kegger parties.
Right.
And there's people that hook up. But most of these athletes are sitting in their house for the rest of their life. They're socially awkward people who aren't fucking anybody to save their fucking lives. Anybody fucking these gymnasts? Are they touched by cock?
No.
Any gymnast?
No, okay.
Aside from the male gymnasts are touched by cock.
But
I'm talking about our female gymnasts. No.
But as you said, there's so many sports. Okay?
I get that, right? But no.
And what
I,
I'm saying is, you know who's getting laid?
Who's getting
laid? I'm thinking the like synchronized swimming chicks. They're getting pounded hard.
I don't know. I mean, you know what I mean?
Gymnasts are like
skeptical.
The male gymnasts are probably gay.
Right.
And that might be a gay slap party over there.
It could be.
But the chicks are like all 12-year-old. They're like 14 and they're like, they're from Springfield,
I'm sure
Iowa.
Phelps and Lochte and those guys can pull plenty of ass. But you know what?
Hold on.
Okay, that's fine. I get that. But that's two guys.
The swim team, and I bet you know what the best. You know what's got to be the best thing is to be like the guy on the swim team, like the on the, you know, the relay race.
Yeah.
The guy who ran the third, the third length.
Yeah.
Who ran the third length with Lochte and, he was the guy in the middle. That's got to be the best job because you're just rolling with those two puss back. You're like, you know what you are? You're like Woody Woodmansey on the Spiders from Mars on their, you know, on the second Bowie tour of America. The pussy's just flowing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I'm
Bowie and Mick Ronson can't handle it all. They're just throwing it out. You know,
you got to be running wild. I get what you're saying. But my feeling is like, you know, like college is a place where like everybody's supposed to get laid. But I know plenty of guys that go to college that don't get laid.
Well, but.
Because I just think that it's
the Olympics is a deal where you're in a foreign country,
right?
Here, you know who gets laid? The guys, the guys whose events are done.
Yeah, that's what they say when the events are over.
Because like swimming only goes the first week.
Yeah,
and I think swimming's completely done by like that first Saturday. Mm-hmm. So then that Sunday, Lochte and Phelps must have been just running
deep
in pussy.
But I think Lochte and Phelps can bang the regular chicks in England.
No, they could.
They don't need to bang, you know.
The athletes?
Yeah, Spain's field hockey
but
team.
But look at it this way, though. There's a lot of hot, in-shape bodies.
It's not an orgy. That's my point. And I see all these. It's not the wildest sexual thing ever. Trust me. There's guys doing crazy, you know. There's rock and roll guys having backstage parties.
You're trying
to make the Olympics look like a fucking 4-H meeting.
I know what you're doing. You're trying to puncture the myth of the jock as the sexual stud.
It's just Olympic athletes are not. They're not people that they're not partiers.
Well, did Lolo Jones? Did you see that?
Who the fuck is a Lolo Jones?
Lolo Jones.
What is that?
She was a track athlete.
Oh well, she's hot.
Yeah. No, she actually was. Look her up. Look up Lolo.
I'm sure
pull up a picture of Lolo Jones.
She's some biracial. Right? Exactly.
I
know
up
what that is.
Okay.
I'm not interested.
She's a biracial blonde.
Yeah.
So she looks like. Okay. So she got all this coverage.
Right.
She was on everything. Extra. Access.
Sure.
Everybody was interviewing her, and she was like, well, I'm too busy to date. And I'm like, I'm a virgin.
Yeah.
Well, she was also too busy to win. Because she finished like fourth in all her races.
Yeah.
And she got all this hype and all this press. And now it's like, who gets to bang Lolo Jones? That's the new.
Well,
everybody's lining up.
Go ahead.
But yeah.
Somebody take that. Go ahead. Take
I will say, there are certain countries look to be like fuck machines, though. I mean, like if you looked at the Portuguese delegation, they were ready to go. Portugal was partying.
Like,
who parties more? Spain, Portugal, Brazil. Or Australia, I think those are your top.
All, you know, yeah.
Those are your top five party countries.
I get that, but I'm not buying into that myth.
No,
of all these Olympic athletes are having these raging fucking, you know, parties or whatever. They're just it's not.
You
happening.
Know what is appealing about it though? It's a 2-week dorm. It's like summer camp,
right?
Okay, you know what I mean? Like a lot of now in summer camp, it's hard to get fully laid. But a lot of handies.
I get that.
A lot
look,
of second
I get,
and third base get
people
hit
get drunk, and when people get drunk, right. people get felt
right.
up, and when people get felt
but
up,
it's also
dicks get sucked, and when dicks get sucked, pussies get tapped.
Thank you.
I get all that.
I wish we had a drop.
I get all that. I understand it all, but don't make it out to be something it ain't.
All right.
That's all I'm saying.
Speaking of a place where people got laid, enough of the Olympics.
Enough Olympics.
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about a
where would that be?
An event where people go and they all get together from around the world
yeah.
and they camp and they it's a nonstop 72-hour fuckfest.
What's that?
The Gathering of the Juggalos.
The Gathering of the Juggalos, which I returned from, which is why we hadn't done a show. Here's what happened. I went, and I know we talked about it a little bit before, and then I was like, I'm sick for a week after, which means I'm just getting over that.
Yeah.
I still got a cough. I'm coughed off mic a few times already.
I gotta say, you get sick a lot. I mean, I bet the Gathering is a place.
The Gathering is like full of like dust.
You're gonna catch a
and
germ
it's like
there.
You know, it's like this place. They're under like the nation's most extreme drought area is where the Gathering was held.
Really?
Yeah, it was like they hadn't had rain.
It's
like
Southern Illinois, right?
It's Southern Illinois, and all the corn is like shriveled up. So all these like gravel roads inside are all dusty. And so you're just inhaling dust and then eating carnival food on top of that.
Yeah.
And sleeping in poor conditions. And so I just get sick every year.
Ugh.
And I'm totally sick right now.
And you're just worn out because it's a
and
long...
I'm tired and I have to talk a lot for my job and I have to talk a lot to fans and, you know, I'm hosting things. And
you got to find Cheech and scrape him off the
ceiling. And, you know, so it's kind of an exhausting week for me. I was gone... like usual, I'm gone 7 days for this.
Jesus.
I leave at like 6 a.m. on a Tuesday, and I return Monday night at like midnight. And it's a fucking long... And
7 days?
Yeah, it's like a 12-hour drive each way.
The event's only...
It was a five-day festival.
Was it really?
Yeah. So we had 2 travel days and 5 days of actual festival.
Isn't it usually just 3?
It's been 3, and then it was 4 for a few years, and then it became 5 this year.
Jesus.
Although the last day was more of like a half day because they didn't do a main stage on the last day. We did the big wrestling show the last day. So,
They didn't do... I thought there was like a big... The Juggalo, or like the whole psychopathic family gets together. Isn't that the big blowout stage show?
Well, no. Well, ICP closed the event. Usually they close it on Sunday. They decided to close it on Saturday. And then Sunday, they did the big wrestling show on Sunday with everybody. So I had to work all of those days. And we had a great comedy lineup this year. I mean, literally, I'm not just kidding about it. Because actually, the comedy was kind of the big talk of the Gathering, actually. Because we had Ralphie May, who...
is fat.
Is real. He's... I mean, first of all, Ralphie came out and did a great job.
Yeah.
He was certainly a nice guy to me. Here's one thing about Ralphie May that I take away. He was super awesome to his fans. And I guess that's why you wonder why Ralphie May is so popular. He's really cool with his fans. He signed shit for every kid that was there.
Mm-hmm.
It took like 90 minutes for him to sign shit.
Wow.
Which was like, you know, a lot of time. when you just finished a show and you could be doing something else. So Ralphie did a nice job, had a huge crowd for him. And then we had Cheech and Chong on night 2, which was kind of the big draw. Like, we had,
so the comedy was a 3-night event?
Yeah, it was a 3-night event, and it was every night starting at either midnight, 1 a.m., something like that.
Wow.
And Cheech and Chong, like, we had people waiting 4 and 5 hours for a good spot for Cheech and Chong.
Mm-hmm.
And this tent, which holds like about 1,000, must have had 4,000 people in it. It was insane for Cheech and Chong.
Wow.
And, they showed up, and they're in their 70s, and I think Tommy's got some sort of cancer.
Oh, good time.
So,
I love how you were like, Tommy's got cancer, and you giggled.
Well, I mean, it's like they're just real old to be doing these shows in the middle of nowhere, but fuck, man. They went out, they did a lot of the classic bits, Tommy did some actual stand-up, and then they do sketches, and, Cheech puts on the pink tutu and runs around and does Earache My Eye.
Does he?
Which, do you know Earache My Eye? Do you know that classic? It's like know it if you don't know it, because it's one of those. Let me see if I can find it.
I got to tell you, I was never a Cheech and Chong
fan. You're never a Cheech and Chong fan. Well, the movies, I was more of a movie guy.
Yeah,
I was like the albums, but their live thing
I was talking, somebody made a friend of mine made a Corsican Brothers reference.
Right.
He made a quote from that, and I went, I saw the Corsican Brothers like one time in like 1989.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I am not a big Cheech and Chong guy. I know there's Dave's Not There and the whole thing.
Right. There's that. And I'm trying to get to the real riff of Earache My Eye because it's good. Where?
You never heard it?
Like a big 70s novelty single. So Cheech is out.
Were,
like,
were they a band in Up in Smoke?
Yeah, I think they did this in Up in Smoke. But you know, Cheech is out in like.
I remember him in the 2-2.
The live thing, he's in the 2-2. So he did that at 70 years old. He did that live, and it was like. And did you ever hear? And then like. So that's like a big Dr. Demento sort of, you know, hit like that. And did you ever hear Basketball Jones? Are you familiar with Basketball Jones? Do you know that's George Harrison on guitar?
I did not.
On Basketball Jones and Klaus Voormann on bass.
I did not know that.
Yeah, they were making, I don't know if it was a Harry Nilsson record or a George Harrison record, like in the studio next door with Richard Perry, who is this 70s, legendary 70s producer. Sure. And they all came over and performed basketball on Basketball Jones. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
Let's hear a moment of Basketball Jones.
It's a terrible fucking song.
It's a terrible song, I know.
I mean, it's just not.
Got a Basketball Jones.
Yeah, apparently Basketball Jones is like a parody of some other song that was big at the time but nobody knows anymore. So it was funny when you heard it in...
We could never get away with this now.
Yeah, it's a little racist, isn't it, the Basketball Jones?
Cartoon characters with, like, lips that look like tires that Cubans would float to America on. I mean, they're huge.
I should have just got this. But the music's actually real good because it's all those...
You know, can we put a link to that? I think we should. I am going to link Basketball Jones. That's a classic, I think.
Look at that. Look at what I paused it on.
It's great.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's pretty. Well,
who did the animation?
I'm not sure. I don't know if that was like, who's the guy, Ralph Bashke? Or I don't know.
It's very 70s. You know what it looks like? It looks like a Sesame Street animation, but dirty. You know?
Does it look a little crumb?
Little like, slightly crummy. It's from that underground.
I'm not sure. Let me see.
Definitely that underground cartoon. Kind of vibe.
Basketball Jones isn't a great song, but
I think we should put a link up for that. So Cheech and Chong, and did you talk to them?
A little bit. I mean, they showed up, and then they said, they showed up in a car, and there was all this media waiting for him, and literally like 4,000 people waiting for him. And they get out, and you know, because I'm not only am I hosting the show, I'm also like running the stage, and I'm the stage manager of comedy at the Gathering of the Juggalos. So I have to, you know, I'll do all the technical stuff.
They
with
work
their,
your little clown shoes
well,
off.
Well, yeah. So I'm there, and I have to make sure the mics are set and the lights and anything that they need I have to take care of. Got to take care of their dressing room, all that shit, you know. So they get out of the car, and there's this guy, there's this photographer that he does, like, Chicagoist and, you know, those blogs, Gotham-ish, Chicagoist. I think they're affiliated with New York Magazine or one of those.
That's possible.
But anyway, this guy's there taking pictures. And Cheech and Chong get out of the car, and they says, "Hey, can I, Cheech and Chong, we get a picture?" And then Cheech, you know, I'm standing there, "How you doing?" And the guy wants a picture, and he goes, "Hey, can the clown get in the picture with us?" So literally, they grab me and they throw me in. And then here is the, let me see, where is this here? There's the photo. I'll show it to you. I'll put this on JoelRadio.net for sure. So whether, where is it? There it is, right there. So there's me with Cheech and Chong.
Wow.
You can see Cheech and Chong.
Tommy looks pretty good.
They both look.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they just look like old versions of them, you know. But
Cheech and Chong were like, I never disliked them. Just was never.
I thought those movies were a fucking riot. Yeah. I mean, I'm a fan of those.
Maybe if I had been more, you know,
you were a little young for one. Because I was young for it anyway. I mean, right. Up in Smoke came up in like 82 or 81.
Their peak was like early 80s.
Early 80s. And yeah.
I didn't smoke weed until about 1993.
Sure. Yeah.
You know? And then,
so at
and then
that
by
point,
the time, yeah, by the time I would have like been into pot humor, they were old.
Right.
And kind of passe.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It was sort of...
we had our own pot humor at the time.
What was that?
I don't know. We had... half baked.
Bill and Ted and
Bill and Ted. And
did they actually get high in Bill and Ted? I don't remember.
They just acted high.
They just acted high the whole time. Yeah,
right. We had our own '90s kind of podcast. Right.
Dude, Where's My Car?
Yeah, stuff like that. I mean, that sucked. But you know.
Yeah, I know what you mean. There was '90s.
Or we would you know, smoke pot and watch Godzilla or something. You know what I mean?
Sure, yeah.
We would, it was not, we didn't need pot humor.
Right. Cheech and Chong were not fashionable.
No.
Maybe by the late 80s.
I was aware of them as a kid, and I just always thought, like, there was some stuff as a kid that I knew wasn't, I wasn't supposed to see.
Right.
That, like, heavy metal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That I went, oh, I gotta see that.
You gotta, yeah, they made you want to see it.
And but Cheech and Chong, I always went, wow. I didn't really ever get it.
Right. Cheech and Chong was this thing where it was, like, not... It wasn't sexual, and as, like, a kid, you sort of got into, like, dirt. You know what I mean? Like, at my age, every kid wanted to see Porky's and Fast Times at Ridgemont High and
right,
all these
sure.
movies. And sort of Cheech and Chong was, like, kind of like... Like, my dad thought that was funny, kind of. You know?
Yeah, it just never...
Well, I'm a big fan of theirs, and, you know...
But I obviously respect their place in
right.
history. They just were never...
Well, they were in that same 70s live cabaret thing as Steve Martin... And those kind of, you know, those sort of acts.
To be like a Mexican-American and a half-Chinese guy.
Yeah.
At the time. But see, this is the problem. You and I are just exactly the right age to not realize how racist everybody was.
Right, yeah.
We're aware of the race. And you know what's funny? Yeah. Is stuff we grew up on stuff like Basketball Jones.
Yeah.
And now we look at it and go, ooh.
But Cheech and Chong itself was a lot of Mexican stereotypes.
Right.
And...
But they were a big act at the time. And I never... We grew up at just the time where those people were famous, and we didn't realize the context of them being famous.
Yeah.
Do you know what
right,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Flip Wilson was already famous.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, we didn't see any of the... We didn't know there were barriers being broken.
So anyway, I'll put that up on the front page of Joel Radio, that picture with
that's
Cheech
good, and
Chong, so
I'd
that's
throw
good.
Up the Basketball Jones to put the...
Corey wants
context
the
of the...
Basketball Jones will be...
You can see this wonderful tripped-out 70s animation.
Yeah, so Cheech and Chong came and really, you know... People loved it. I mean, you know, it's an old act, and it's not.
Yeah, they weren't innovative.
Stand-up comedy,
no.
In a sense. They
that's
do sketches.
That's
and
the other
do...
thing. It's that sketch-based.
It is.
Stuff.
Yeah, it is.
And it's like Nichols and May.
Yeah,
or not,
it's like
not,
really.
I mean,
yeah,
I'm not putting Cheech and Chong in the same category as Nichols and May. From a they're not similar, but they're. They do story.
Right.
They do scenes.
They'll do songs, and then they'll do scenes, and, you know, they do different characters. They needed to, like, change outfits. There was outfit changes, and, you know, it was...
That kind of comedy is completely gone. Nobody does
yeah,
that.
Nobody does that anymore, yeah.
There used to be albums of, like, Bob Newhart talking to himself on a phone.
Yeah.
Then again,
who was
we talked about it before. Ventriloquism on the radio.
Who was the one? Carl, was it? It was the Thousand-Year-Old Man.
Yeah, the Thousand-Year-Old Man. Well, that was at least...
There's 20 albums of the Thousand-Year-Old Man.
That was two guys talking to each other.
Right, but I mean, that's what Cheech and... I mean, I'm saying in the
remember
sense...
Remember, comedy albums were like a big thing.
Yeah.
We'd sit and listen to.
Right.
And we've talked about this, I'm sure, on the show, because we've been doing the show since 1978, and I think we've covered it all.
Yeah.
But no, I remember listening to like Cosby Records.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Well, I remember God, who did Lemmings in that? Was that
Lemmings was like the early Saturday Night Live?
Yeah, but what was the name of their troupe though?
It was National Lampoon.
National Lampoon. Yeah, I remember the National Lampoon records, which were bizarre. And I think if you listen to them now, you go like, "Fuck this shit, get this out of here." But at the time, they were big.
Well, it wasn't like Chris Guest was in that. And,
well, yeah, there was like the I remember listening to the Lemmings at like a kid's. Like an elementary school birthday party, and like the older brother had the Lemmings album, and it was like Bill Murray, I think, was on it. And,
maybe. Well, Belushi was on it.
Yeah, and it was like all these, and it was like,
I
was like, well, who are these? What is this fucking shit? What is this? Like, I didn't get nothing.
Well, also, they'd press an album of a live comedy show.
Right. Well, Lemmings was a parody of Woodstock.
Right. So
which
a lot
I didn't know from Woodstock. You know what I mean?
Right.
I didn't get any of the parody.
There's a lot of singing.
Yeah, it was just like a lot of like, what is this garbage?
Yeah, I wasn't hip to Lemmings as a kid.
Yeah, that was a thing that I remember people listening to that.
You know what we had? This is ridiculous. Mm. We had an album of All in the Family scenes.
Okay.
You know what
like
I mean?
Like it was scenes like they...
It'd be like Lionel and Archie would be tough. Now, Lionel, you know, the Coloreds. No
it was
work
an actual printed record.
They're fast, they run, but they don't work ethic. Well, I don't know, Mr. Jefferson. You know, and he'd like goof and like.
But and that was an actual record.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I remember there was one about like him asking Lionel how black people brush their teeth or something. You know what I mean? And it would be like Archie and Lionel or Archie and Gloria or Archie and, you know, Mike.
Yeah.
And it was like sketches from. And it was from the show. Like,
the best.
Because the studio audience would be on
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm going, well, now we could just watch the goddamn rerun. We had to get a vinyl album.
There might not have been reruns.
And my parents must have bought this in like 1974.
They really
right? And
wanted
like,
that.
Yeah. Yeah. There was things like that. They would put anything.
Yeah.
If you go to old vinyl stores, there would be weird stuff, you know.
Yeah. So anyway, so Cheech and Chong came and did their thing and did a nice job. But, you know, they're old fucking guys. And then the final comedy.
How was Ralphie? Did he pop with the crowd? Did he go over?
Oh, Ralphie was great. Yeah, Ralphie got over big. And then we had, well, Jamie Kennedy showed up.
Ralphie was big, all right.
Well, he's huge.
He's a giant fat man.
He's real heavy, man. I hope he, I don't know if he said he just had his bariatric done or something, but he needs some help. Ralphie ain't going to be here long, so. I'm not sure if Chong or Ralphie's going to live longer at this point. It's hard for me to say. Jamie Kennedy kind of Jamie Kennedy showed up late.
Mm.
And we canceled his performance. So that was kind of odd. And I kind of had to tell him. I had to tell Jamie Kennedy he couldn't go on. But it was like a money thing. You know what I mean? It was like, it wasn't my call, but. Yeah, Jamie Kennedy was supposed to open for Cheech and Chong.
Yeah.
And then he showed up like 3 hours late. And it wasn't my decision, but basically some people who were running the festival were like, yeah, we're just not going to pay you, so you're not doing it. You know, I mean, it was one of those things where like if we let him go up, he's owed his money, and they were thinking he doesn't owe his money.
Well, he got there like after Cheech and Chong?
Yeah, so the tent had completely cleared out.
Right.
And Jamie Kennedy was advertised for like 12:30, and he showed up at like 3.
And
it's like, well,
to have him come back the next day would have been too much.
I don't know what the deal was, but the basic idea was like, you were supposed to play in front of Cheech and Chong to 4,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
There's 50 kids waiting for you. It's 3 a.m. Go fuck yourself. We're not paying you. So I had to tell Jamie Kennedy he couldn't go on.
It's got to suck to get there, though. It's not like a place that's easy to get
to. It sucks to get there, but you know what? Ralphie May was like 12 hours early. Cheech and Chong were there early. Bobcat Goldthwait, that was right. The final night. It was Bobcat. Who I got to say, if anybody impressed me more than anybody.
Well, I've met Jamie Kennedy, and I've been unimpressed. So,
and I kind of like Jamie. I mean, I have no ill, like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know from his stand-up, but I certainly, you know, like, had nothing against the guy. He just showed up super late, and the job fell on me, even though I didn't make the decision to tell him he's not getting paid. He's go home, and we'll send you a check, dummy. That's kind of what I had to do. So I was, you know, that's a big star that I have to, you know.
Yeah.
Imagine you're a big star. You show up in a field in Illinois, and a fat clown has to tell you you can't perform. That would be.
It's a terrible business. It's a terrible business.
That would be tough to take, I think, if you're Jamie Kennedy.
Imagine your
a humbling experience.
Imagine
perhaps.
You're Gallagher. And you've been doing comedy since 1966.
Yeah.
And you end up doing the Pasty Festival in Houghton, Michigan. You
know, that's a good booking for Gallagher at this point.
Yeah.
Or it would have been.
That commercial with him is weird.
Yeah, he's retired from performing. So.
That Geico commercial with the wig?
Yeah, I don't know why they couldn't use Gallagher now.
Now they put a wig on him.
They wanted 1985
People
Gallagher.
Know who he is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Put the wig on him.
If we have this old gray hippie smashing stuff, people might not know, but if we...
Why don't we end this podcast and just start Gallagher chat? And we'll every week, you and I can just talk about Gallagher.
Gallagher stories.
We can watch him with the spring on the one foot and the roller skate.
That
on the
was
other.
Good. I like that.
We could... Gallagher's mad... What was it? He had a song where he was singing Gallagher's Mad as Hell.
Yeah, I can't... Yeah, I forget what that was.
Yeah.
It's on YouTube. That's where we saw it. So anyway, so Bobcat... And I have to tell you, Bobcat Goldthwait...
Uh-huh.
Is a real... Here's a guy who, I think if not for his 80s infamy, because he was in all those Police Academy movies and he did that dumb character, here's a guy who's, like, sharp, like, very witty, like, cool, gets it.
Right.
Like, you would call him, without the baggage of what he did in the 80s, he would, I think, be considered amongst, like, the best sort of alt comics mm-hmm. working today.
Right.
I mean, the guy's phenomenal on stage. The guy's hilarious. And yet, sort of, Bobcat sort of seen as
he's dogged by that reputation.
He's sort of dogged by his reputation, which is too bad, because here's a guy who's like...
He gets lumped in with Judy Tenuta.
Yeah, and Howie Mandel.
And Howie Mandel, yeah. And Emo Phillips.
Right, right, right.
And Yakov Smirnoff.
Yep.
The 80s saw a lot of gimmick comedy.
Absolutely.
That got big.
Yeah.
which that is not true anymore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There was a real hacky, gimmicky 80s vibe.
Yeah.
Bobcat did that voice.
Sure.
And he got stuck in it, and he did the stupid Police Academy movies. You know, it's funny. A couple months ago, they did on one of Stern's many, many vacations, because Stern's apparently always on vacation.
No, he's always
on. I think he's in the studio this week, and it's whenever he's on, you're like, holy shit, you're on?
Let me soak this in.
Yeah, he was off last week, but it was, anyway, they played like all Kinison.
Yeah.
Like the whole week, they took every time Kinison had ever been on the Stern show and made a week out of that.
Yeah.
And, he had a feud with Bobcat.
Right.
And he was calling Bobcat an asshole for doing all those bad movies.
Yeah.
But wouldn't have Kinison done the same bad movies?
Kinison,
if he lasted
first of all, Kinison did bad movies
right.
and bad television. And bad comedy records and all kinds
if
of.
If Kinison
that,
had had another 5 years, he would have done every stupid movie.
And
that,
Kinison probably would have had a renaissance and had this thing. And I think Bobcat is a guy that kind of deserves that. I think he's a guy that, to listen to him. Excuse me, my fucking cough. I mean, I don't know how people are marks for Brian Regan and some of these guys, and I go,
people love
here's a
Brian
guy like
Regan.
A Bobcat who's just so funny, and it's not shtick, and he does the voice for like a second and then goes, yeah, I'm not fucking doing that alt show, but it's like I can't describe it other than if you watched it and you like good comedy, you would love Bobcat.
Well, he probably is one of those acts where everything's really smart but there's no like hook.
There isn't a hook. Yeah,
there's no definable. You're right. Some guys you'll go, oh, he'll hit like three punchlines that are his big laugh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you'll go, that's exactly
but
what this
I
guy
mean,
does.
Listen, I've heard, and I'll say it here, and it's not because I hung out with Bobcat and he was a good guy and he was nice to me. His wife was there and they were really cool and we got to hang out for a few hours. But I mean, I would take him over like a Louis C.K. or like a Marc Maron.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, like on stage, yeah.
Well, Louis's funny.
Louis's funny, but Bobcat's every bit as funny. I'm telling you. Bobcat, to me, and I work in, I've done comedy.
Yeah.
As far as a live performer,
mm-hmm.
I think he's one of the best I've ever seen.
Mark's coming to town here next month, and I'll go see him.
Yeah.
If I'm not working,
right.
If I don't get that show, I'll go see him because I'm curious to see.
Yeah.
Because I like him as a podcaster. I don't know about as a stand-up.
Right. I'm telling you, if you get a chance to see Bobcat, and Bobcat tells me he does... Overall, Bobcat does a bunch of things. He's directing movies. I know you've seen a couple of his movies.
Yeah, I haven't seen the last...
God Bless America is his newest one.
I haven't seen the latest one, yeah.
And everyone says that's great. I still haven't seen it. But I think World's Greatest Dad people liked or people thought that was funny. And so he's making movies. He directed the Jimmy Kimmel Show on ABC for a long time.
Right.
He also did a lot of work on Man Show.
Yeah.
He told me a great behind-the-scenes Man Show story that I'll tell you off the air.
Oh,
because
tickle my balls with a feather.
I'm tickling the audience's ass with a feather.
Oh, my God.
But he told me a great story about a celebrity that was on the show, on the Man Show.
Yeah.
And they did like a hidden camera thing, and the guy threw a fit where they couldn't air it. It was really funny, but it was some fucking...
Well, not as exciting as The Gathering, but
so I
got
to give it up to Bobcat. Yeah. The guy was tremendous, and he didn't draw the crowd that the other, like Cheech and Chong and Ralphie May drew. But people that saw it thought he was the best act of the weekend. Yeah. So there you go.
How was The Unknown Comic? Was he good?
The Unknown Comic was great. And then we had, Ray J. Johnson.
Ray J. Johnson.
He was there.
Bruce Baby Man Balm.
Phyllis Diller didn't make it. And now we know why, because she was ill, apparently. And we.
Poor Phyllis.
Phyllis Diller.
You know, honestly, Phyllis
Gone
Diller,
too
that's
soon.
Another one where I never found her funny.
Yeah, well.
But I respect her mom. Now, Joan Rivers, I actually think is funny, and I respect Joan Rivers.
Who did? Remember the
Joan Rivers is still as
Joan
edgy.
Rivers is, and she's funny.
She's
yeah,
as I'll sharp agree. As ever.
Remember the 100 greatest comedians of all time special?
Right.
Do you remember who the panel was for that?
I remember they did a countdown show.
They did a countdown. Do you remember who the hosts were?
I remember who the hosts were.
It was on Comedy Central.
Okay.
And two of the three hosts have deceased.
I remember a lot of talking heads.
It was, remember, because they were like sitting in a diner holding up headshots.
Oh.
And I believe it was Mario Joyner.
Okay.
Who's alive.
He's dead.
No, Mario Joyner's alive, actually.
Oh.
Greg Giraldo and Phyllis Diller.
Oh, wow.
And Greg Giraldo and Phyllis Diller in LA.
That really?
See ya.
Well,
the curse of the 100 greatest comedians.
I can't wait. Hey, Mario.
Mario.
Look out.
Three on a match, Mario.
We might actually see the return of Mario Joyner, who has not appeared anywhere. What are you talking about? He looks like a lit match. What are you talking about, three on a match?
That's what they say.
Yeah.
Isn't that an old World War One thing about, like, you people die in threes, three on a match? It's something to do with that. I've always heard that term.
Mario Joyner. Thank you. I made a wonderfully racist joke, right?
Yeah, I don't know why you said that. I said three on a match because three people die in threes.
I get you. I get you. Mario Joyner, you will see a return of Mario Joyner.
When is that, Corey?
Because
make a better joke.
Seinfeld is doing a web series.
Oh, of course.
And it's like Seinfeld goes and gets coffee with comics.
Lots of Tom Papa.
And, they ride my car. Yeah, no, it's what it is. We'll ride my car.
Yeah.
Do your bad Seinfeld impression if you would, you know.
We're gonna want the coffee.
Who?
So what?
Larry Miller and I will go get coffee.
Who decided that's enough cream?
Yeah.
You never use one creamer. Why not make the creamers bigger and we use less cream? I mean, come on. Who are the geniuses who invented the creamer?
You know, they call it a vent, eh? But it's always so hot, they need to put a vent in it.
Yeah, that sounds horrible.
I know this because one of the guys is Joel Hodgson.
Okay.
Well, because apparently they were old buddies.
Oh, yeah?
Like, okay. From Joel's comedy career, which was... Joel Hodgson was a stand-up in, like, 82, you know?
Him and Jerry came up together.
That's a hip guy to Jerry.
Yeah. Right? Well, so,
but
whatever.
Yeah, Mario Joyner, it's funny, there is a tier of Jerry's friends.
Yeah, oh yeah, Jerry's got a circle.
Much like Letterman will have on, like, Tom Dreesen.
Yeah.
He'll have on, like, Jeff Altman and Tom Dreesen, like, guys that were relevant to Dave.
Yeah.
When Dave was a stand-up in 1977.
Yeah.
And Jerry has those friends, too.
Jerry has those guys. And,
right. Argus Hamilton will be getting a cup of coffee with him.
We'll see them all. And one more thing about The Gathering, the wrestling show, because I know Corey likes old wrestlers.
Yeah,
and there wasn't as many old wrestlers as there's been in the past, but one of my highlights was I got to spend some quality Vader time, which was great. So if you're not a wrestling fan, you don't know who Vader, also known as Big Van Vader, was. Go watch him on YouTube because the guy was this fucking freak of nature, and he's in his 50s, maybe even approaching 60, but the guy's still a big giant powerhouse guy. And
wow,
I got to hang out with Vader, so he's a guy that's I think he's in every wrestling Hall of Fame there is. So a true legend was Vader.
A true legend.
A true legend. And I got to introduce him at The Gathering.
I don't know if he's a true legend or not.
Who are you referring to? Vader?
You know, he's a
Vader's in every wrestling Hall of Fame.
Is he really?
Well, because what you're not considering was his career in Japan.
Oh,
because
of course
he's one of the all-time. Well, he's one of the all-time foreign heels in Japan. In New Japan.
Is he?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm forgiven for not knowing that. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, because he had a WCW and a WWF career, but he actually was bigger. He was a star in Japan.
Well, the Japs like to do this thing where they go, the Japs, excuse me, that's inappropriate.
Well, what's with you today?
I'm sorry. I apologize to the people of Japan. I meant to say the Nips.
All right. Continue on with your point.
The zipper head slant eyes, they have this thing where they... they like to get a big white guy, and that's like the villain.
Or even better, a big black guy.
A big black guy, right. Why do you think Bob Sapp is a legend?
But it's easier, I think, to get big white guys.
It's the same in baseball. Like, Warren Cromartie was a huge star in Japan because he went over there and hit like 50
Cecil
home runs.
Fielder.
Right, right.
He was a big guy. Came to Detroit.
Ron Blassingame. Like, guys that, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Guys that played a couple years for the White Sox and then bottomed out of the farm club. And then they go over to Japan, and Warren Cromartie's so big, there's a like anime show called Cromartie High based off him. Like, they wouldn't go over and they'd hit 50 taters and
Get back to Vader.
Anyway, and so what they do is they go like Dick Captain Redneck Murdoch.
Right.
Was like a big overheel.
Well, Stan Hansen was one of the legendary. Bruiser Brody is a legendary guy.
They get a cowboy guy.
The Funk Brothers,
right. They put him in a chaps and a cowboy hat. And they'd be like, oh, Mr. America and the cowboy villain!
Dr. Steve Williams.
Right.
Yeah.
Dr. Adesu!
Terry Bam Bam Gordy!
Bam Bam Gordy! Oh,
So Vader was in that.
Bobo Brazil.
Apparently, the story. You know how Vader got his break in Japan.
Was by being a large white guy.
Well, no, but here's it's an interesting wrestling story that no one will care about unless you're into wrestling. But in New Japan, had booked this guy to play Vader, and they sort of had a suit or what. I don't know if they had whatever, or maybe they didn't have the suit that was Vader, but they had this role for this foreign. And
they were going to put this foreign guy,
and they had a guy that was wrestling in world class wrestling at the time,
mm-hmm.
and so they had the stuff booked for the Dingo Warrior. Well, what happened was the Dingo Warrior got an offer to go join the WWF. He became the Ultimate Warrior in WWF, and then because that spot was open in Japan, they found Vader, and then Vader became the Legend. Mm-hmm. So actually, Japan got the better of the deal in the sense that even though he was second choice.
Much like Harrison Ford got Raiders of the Lost Ark because Tom Selleck had to do magic.
Exactly, yes.
Yes.
Right.
See?
Well, see, but you know what would be great is if Tom Selleck had made those movies, there'd be a shitty Harrison Ford movie on CBS every Saturday night, every 8 weeks. I mean, come on.
My dad lives for that.
Oh, those, fuck those movies.
That's my dad's favorite shit.
It's like,
yeah,
Saturday night, 9 o'clock. Oh, what an audience we've captured there.
Jesse Stone. The Jesse Stone movies, if you haven't seen them, and I'm assuming if you have a pulse, you haven't.
Yeah.
And if you're in Germany, you certainly haven't seen them. So Tom Selleck, you might remember from Magnum P.I.
You might, yeah.
And his film career never took off, probably because he couldn't get that Raiders of the Lost.
Well, Three Men and a Baby, Three Men and a Little Lady, Mr. Baseball.
Yeah, Runaway.
Runaway.
Yeah. She's Out of My League.
I think that sums it up right there.
I'm sorry. My Alibi.
My Alibi was Tom Selleck.
Thank you. Yeah. Cousins. Anyway, I know.
That might have been
Ted Danson. Sorry. But the Tom Selleck film career.
Just go keep talking in your story. I'm blowing up. We'll talk about that in a second.
Your bipper's blowing up.
Yeah.
I should be blowing up for seeing what's coming to me on
Sunday.
Yeah,
I know. We're going to talk about that.
And anyway.
Tom Selleck.
Tom Selleck, he's got a show. He's got a regular show called Blue Bloods.
Blue Bloods, yeah.
But they do these things. You're right. They do about
they do like
four or five of them a year.
Jesse
probably,
Stone
right?
movies, and I'm guessing it's
every 2 months. There's
right.
one every so they do maybe 6 a year.
And I'm guessing there's old ladies that used to have vaginal juices that enjoy those.
I think it's for.
But I think it's guys. Is it more guys? Because he's also like a Republican, Tom Selleck, and I think he appeals to like old conservatives, like he's their action hero.
Yeah, my
or
dad's
something.
Not a conservative, but he likes that. Like,
yeah,
my dad's a real army macho guy who votes Democrat. But
yeah,
like, he's kind of like, I love that Jesse Stone.
Your dad like Jag,
right?
I remember my dad's favorite show.
Jag, NCIS, King.
Right.
Like my dad likes a cop or murder show.
Yeah.
But if you throw a Navy or you know what I mean? Like if it's a,
right, it just adds a layer.
If it's like a military mystery, all the better.
Forget about it.
But Jesse Stone, I think he's like some retired hotshot cop or something from New York. And then he like goes up to Maine or some shit and is the sheriff in some sleepy town where people are getting murdered all the time.
Right.
And literally on this show, his house is on the other side of it's like on an inlet. Or like on a cove or something, a bay, and he's got to cross a little creek to get to his house, and there's a bridge.
Oh, really?
And then like, and one of the ones my dad was watching, like he's like looking at the house to buy it, and he's like, "Well, it's a pain to have to schlep your groceries over this bridge."
Yeah.
Then they show him walking over that footbridge every time.
Yeah.
You're like, really?
It became the signature of the show.
Yeah, but all it does is slow the show down by about. You got to take 2 minutes to watch him cross.
Well,
that
it's
bridge.
A travel log with a mystery.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. But he's well, there's a murder. And then he puts his jacket on and he slowly walks across the bridge.
Listen, Tom Selleck, we should have his career, you and I.
We
should have.
He was on Friends.
The guy's been around for 40 years.
I actually kind of like Tom Selleck in an affectionate, weird
way.
Sure,
yeah, I know.
Because I think he's a better actor than some other people.
Yeah.
Like, people love David Hasselhoff, and that guy is a fucking atrocity.
Selleck is actually charismatic in a real sense and not an artificial sense. I get what you're saying. Like,
he's actually a decent actor.
Yeah.
Like, some guys get famous for being Chuck Norris.
Right.
And they're fucking horrible.
Yeah.
Steven Seagal. So, see, Selleck is what he is.
Yeah, anyway. Okay. Well, my phone was blowing up with Rob Rose.
Oh.
And I believe attorney Nigel Rosenblum has called me
okay. All right.
in the last few days. So there's lots of
excitement.
Got to
get that together.
around the pending Corey Hall nuptials.
Well, we'll get to that in a second.
Why? What else? What Jesse Stone gonna, information do you have?
I was going to say, I didn't get to work with all the litany of stars.
Oh, yeah, please.
But I did do some shows with Hal Sparks a couple times.
Oh, Hal Sparks. Well, there you go. But
I would say he's got a much like Bobcat. That's a guy who's really funny.
Yeah.
But doesn't get as much attention.
Really?
No, Hal was good, and he was very smart, and I had a nice. We had a long talk about. I was reading a Bowie biography backstage, and so we started talking about transvestite somehow.
All right.
And we had a long talk about how Tim Curry was just amazing. And
right.
But anyway, Hal could talk about all kinds of stuff: politics, history.
All right,
very smart guy. His crowd was very. It was maybe the most lesbians I've ever played for.
Really?
Very NPR kind of.
Well, that sounds great for comedy.
Yeah,
lesbians.
I know, but they were kind of more like they wanted to have fun, I guess.
All right.
And it was a fun time. It wasn't like it was Dream Cruise.
Yeah, it was Dream Cruise.
So
weekend,
it was like the Friday.
We've talked about that on the show. If you don't know what that is,
it's the guys who like Jesse Stone.
It is.
It's all the guys who watch Tom Selleck.
They pick a Saturday when there's no Jesse Stone movie, and they all get their old cars.
That's what it is. They go, hell no, there's no Jesse Stone on.
Third week in August. No Jesse.
Time to break out the Chevelle because there's no Jesse Stone on. Everybody. Margaret, take the tarp off the T-Bird. I think, there's no new episodes of CSI. We're good.
All right. So Hal Sparks.
Hal was really a fun guy, very smart guy, and I think he seems kind of relaxed about his career. Like he doesn't really care. I mean, I think if he had another television platform, he'd probably be doing.
Yeah, I don't know what you do with Hal Sparks.
He's
not
doing
sure.
Like radio now. He's doing a lot of radio.
What was his original claim to fame? Did he do Talk Soup or something?
Yes.
Was that his original?
He was on Talk Soup, and then he was on.
The seven guys who did Talk Soup.
Well, he was one of the I love the 70s and 80s kind of those. Like he was a fixture on those.
He was a pundit.
A talking head.
Yeah.
But really nice. And he also did the thing where he shook everybody's hand and talked to everybody and. Like, gave this one crazy girl relationship advice long after any other normal... Any other comic would have found a way to get away from her, but he was standing there talking to her. So.
All right. We got 17 minutes.
Do we really?
Yeah, we literally have 17 minutes to finish the show.
We could do it and finish now. I'm good.
No. Corey's getting married this weekend.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And finally, Corey has settled down.
And let me say it right now.
He's off the market, girls.
If there's any girls who are out there still listening, if there's any girls who... stalk me somehow on the internet and find this show. You had your chance.
Well, they still got a chance. They got like 3 days. So it's...
Well, I'm not saying you don't have a
610-552-0746 if you need to get
some
that
I'm not saying you don't have a chance after the wedding, but I'm saying you had your chance now.
He's getting the first one out of the way. Corey Hall's getting married.
Thank you.
Yeah.
My first wedding will be this.
So I'm getting calls. Like I said, I just got
You're getting calls for the bachelor party?
I'm getting calls about a bachelor party that... I don't even think I can attend, and I know you're having issues with bachelor party. Can I ask you that?
Well,
I'm going to ask
you. You can come on the late side.
I think I can come on the late side. Is Harry invited to the bachelor party?
No.
Okay, because that's fine.
Speaking of Harry, we didn't even mention that Harry went to the gathering.
I got Harry into the gathering of the Juggalos, and because of my work schedule, I only got to hang out with Harry a little bit of time, but he went, and he did what Harry did. He annoyed people there. So... You think the gathering where it's very accepting and all people can come together of all types who might be considered losers or outcasts or people who are picked on in their regular lives can come to the gathering and have a great time? No, they hated Harry too. So that's from what he's told me. From what he's told me, Juggalos stepped to Harry.
He was an outcast amongst the outcasts.
He was an outcast. Yes, he looked like an old narc walking around the gathering. Really, more
this is great. Harry goes into an open sewer of human filth and is still rejected.
He's still rejected. Yeah, it was
there,
still...
He couldn't get laid on the drug bridge.
He said he had a good time. But anyway, so Harry, Corey's getting married this weekend.
How long was Harry there?
Like only 2 days. So Harry was there for Bobcat, and but I didn't hang out with him much because I could have hung out with him more on the first 2 days, but he wasn't there the first 2 days. So.
There you go.
When he was there, I was super busy. So anyway. Right. So what were we talking about?
Yeah, I'm getting married. Don't do it if you're out there thinking about doing it.
What have the festivities involved to this point? Because we're like 4 days out.
There's just endless stuff there's details that you're not aware of.
Really?
There's a lot of planning. We had our final meeting with the venue on Monday.
Okay.
We had to do walkthroughs and we had to figure out where all the electrical outlets are.
I feel like you could do a wedding without all that, but I almost feel like people...
We're not doing the biggest wedding in the world, but we're doing a fairly...
Yeah.
We're doing a mid-sized, decent-sized wedding.
Okay.
We have a huge venue.
Really?
And honestly, we picked the venue because it's impressive. It's kind of cool looking.
All right.
And we're getting it for less than like other places we wanted to charge that were smaller.
Sure.
So we got a great deal on the venue, and it was one we really liked the look of and thought it was cool. So, but it's a big wedding, and there's a lot of shit going on.
Yeah.
I've been literally up until Sunday, I was inviting. Like, I had to, like...
He was saying, hey.
Well, no, because we invited all these people, and then people couldn't make it.
Right.
We ended up doing a Sunday because it saved money. But that meant that a lot of out-of-town people couldn't make it.
Because they need to be home by Monday.
They didn't have the travel. And then, by the way, I'm now old. If I'd gotten married 10 years ago, this would have been a really raucous, crazy bachelor party. But no, I'm getting married now in my 30s. And some of my friends have kids.
Sure.
And a lot of them have sand in their vaginas.
Yeah.
So I think the bachelor party will be a smaller affair than
I don't even know what's happening, and I'm trying to get the invite.
We're gonna have to make the
officially
call,
and the people are calling me about what I can do, and I'm like, I'm working that night, so I don't even know when I'll be free around 11, which I don't know.
Well, we'll still be,
if that
we'll
frees be up where, yeah, I don't know. So anyway, but here's the thing about weddings are for you. Do what you feel comfortable and fuck everybody else, because at the end of the day...
You always say that, and it just doesn't work that way.
You can,
That's been said.
I know you say that, but it's... I'm never offended by somebody not inviting me to their wedding or whatever.
Well, yeah.
You know, I mean, like, if you hadn't invited me, maybe I... You know what I mean? I might have, because we're close, but, like, my cousin that I never see, if they don't invite me to their wedding, I'm fine with that.
Right.
You're just saving me, you know, buying a fresh set of clothes and writing you a check. You know what I mean? That, I'm fine with that. I don't want that, you know.
You were, I mean, it's not like I wasn't, you were always going
to
be invited.
I understand I was always going to be invited to your wedding.
I didn't make you stand in a wedding.
If you would have asked me to stand, I would have stood.
I know,
but
I did make you stand because I wanted you and Heather to just have a good time.
Right, right. So I'm fine.
I didn't, but you are going to still have responsibility.
Yeah, I know. Now you've given me shit to do.
I gave you some jobs.
Corey's given me shit to do at the wedding.
Yeah.
We'll talk about after the wedding. And, there you go. So that's the coming up, and Corey's been running around crazy and didn't know if he could even do the show today.
It's been months. It's been, you know, we've been engaged for 6 months.
Yeah.
More than eight months.
Yeah.
And there was an insane amount of stuff early on.
Yeah.
The first 2 months, there was a lot of work.
Yeah.
And then it slowed down a little bit. And then we got into a lull for about 3 months where we didn't really do anything on the wedding. And then we're like, oh shit, the wedding's coming up.
Yeah. Well,
so now it's, and then now we're days away and it's getting insane.
All right. Well, enjoy that. I mean, I'm sure it'll be a fun time. And
no, don't ever do it.
I'll
by
be
the
there.
Way out there. If you're listening,
I mean,
now, Joseph Zhu, your obnoxious personality, you'll never get married.
Some of you by default.
Cam, you got married, but I think it was your wife's choices were an Inuit or a narwhal.
Well,
you know, so that she.
I mean, I'm not against
the one white guy up there.
My feeling is, I'm speaking more about weddings than marriage. Marriage and weddings are different things.
Yeah, you can
have one without the other. I think
we've been together for a long time, so I'm essentially married already. It's not a big deal.
It's a ceremony,
but it is a big party.
It's a party.
And it's a and. So. My mom had a class 3 meltdown the other day.
Yeah.
I had to talk her down.
But that's the thing, too, because I would go like this. I'd go like, look, I think my parents and those immediately around me are fine and could handle the responsibility like that.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had somebody that would be close to me, I would just go, you know, you have nothing to do with this. But I guess it's hard to tell people no because people want to be involved. And it must be hard to go like, yeah, you know, we got that. We don't need your...
Well, my mom's done way more than is usually called upon of the mother of the groom, I think.
Yeah.
You know, but...
Huh.
Because they didn't really have a big wedding. They just like... I think they had a little... Justice.
Your mom and dad when they
I think
got
they
married.
Went to the Justice of the Peace and had a little picnic or something.
Sure.
You know, it wasn't like a
right
big wedding. So my mom...
And
it's blubbery, and then her parents want stuff.
It's for women.
And it is for women.
It is the...
And then I had to go to the linen store the other day.
Oh, well, fucking A.
And we had a fight over the linens.
You have to pick, like, what, chair covers or some bullshit like that? Always with the chair cover. I sit in chairs all day. None of them are covered. Right. Sitting chairs my whole life. Not one is covered. I go to a wedding, I got to have a fucking cover.
Well, did,
why?
I don't know, but you know what's great? We went to the venue.
I think it's because the chairs are beaten up, didn't look like shit, and they wanted to look
We went
nice.
To the venue the other day, and Amy goes, oh, these chairs aren't bad.
Yeah.
And now she actually, the chair cover came from somewhere else yeah. where the push for the chair cover wasn't really her thing.
Okay, but their chairs are always covered.
And yeah, so we had to go to the linen place, and they'd selected stuff,
yeah.
and I hated it. So we had to go over, and we had to end up changing the linens because I was like,
well,
this
you
is...
You hated the linen.
Oh.
Look at you with the linens.
It was fucking awful.
Linen, so well, I had to go you are pussy whipped. You're linen. You're looking for linens.
I know. Well, no, the linens went down without me knowing about it.
Yeah.
They went over... They had did the linens. I went.
So if the linens were bad, you would have showed up on wedding day, and what would have happened?
I would have went. No, those suck.
Yeah, like, yeah. What's the difference? I don't know. I feel like
No. I didn't even know. In fact, she shouldn't have told me what the linens were.
Right.
And then I went. Oh, really? That's what you picked? So we had to go over the linens.
I don't know.
So,
I go to one or two. I don't go to like I go to those people that go to six weddings a year. I don't know who they are. But I'll go to one or two weddings a year.
I've had years like that where I've gone
but
to a bunch of
weddings.
But
I can't remember the fucking linens from what... You know what I mean? It's not even in the... Yeah. Anyway.
Well, anyway.
Are you doing the photo booth? Are you... What fun... you're having a DJ, I know that. But what are you having any sort of other...
No fun to be had.
No fun, nothing like that.
Maybe
no,
we'll play cornhole.
That's fine.
What?
I don't know.
That's actually, maybe I'll have Rob bring his cornhole.
Rob's got cornhole, yeah. And we'll all play
that.
All right, well.
There you go.
Well, good luck with
maybe
that.
Maybe we'll have a putting green. I don't know. what fun activities.
Well, I'll be there, and,
Yes, sir. Well, the comedy table is going to be raucous.
The comedy table, that's going to be fun. That's not,
raucous comedy table.
It's
going to
be a blast.
If everybody shows up.
Right. I'll have you know I'm removing skin tags just for the occasion.
Okay,
so I'm trying
good,
to.
Good.
That's why there's a piece of gray duct tape on my neck.
Good.
I don't know if you've been staring at that the whole show or if you didn't notice it.
What is going on?
There's a piece of gray. It's a piece of gray duct tape on my neck. Cuz it's supposed to remove a skin tag.
Is it really?
That's what it's supposed to do.
You're going to just pull skin off?
Well, apparently it dies. Do you know what a skin tag is? It's that little... Like, I have one on the front of my neck.
Yeah.
It won't be removed by wedding. But you can apparently burn them or cut them off. But that sounded sort of bad, so...
Really?
I put a piece of duct tape over them.
Is that so?
Which may or may not work, but I'm be taking that off.
All right, Dr. Science.
Look at that. Joel's home. That's going to... That's what the podcast is going to be now that you're married. It's going to be Joel's home remedies. Joel's.
Let's be honest.
Folk cures.
Let's be honest. It's been years since we had a chippy in here. We ain't spanked one ass in years. It used to be a hot tub party in here.
You were doing shots during the show. And
it used to be double stuffing going on and just all kind of nonsense.
Those
and
were
hilarious.
The days.
Now we're domesticated old men. We sit here and bitch about synchronized swimming. I don't even want to have a bachelor party. Just fuck it.
Listen.
It's not even a wedding. It's a retirement for my penis. It's just all fucking over. No fun anymore.
Hey, listen, Corey.
That's no good.
Listen.
You know what? You want to have a bachelor party? Call up every tramp we know and fire up that hot tub.
That's maybe that's what the boys are
planning. There it is.
Let me go through some phone numbers and we'll
make that happen. Clean this bitch up.
If that's what you'd like, we'll close some accounts.
Yeah,
we'll settle some tabs here.
There's nobody left.
They're
all pregnant.
I could rustle up.
Honestly, every girl I ever dated, I think, is married or has a kid. I'm old.
Well, listen.
Yeah.
Don't think that the podcast is over because when you come back. We have lots of. We'll start reviewing Jesse Stone movies.
We'll have my wedding and Joel's breakup.
Yeah,
after he goes to the bachelor party.
Chicks, here's the thing. Yeah. You never this. I'm telling you this. Listen to me. Listen to me, guys. If you listen to anything, you never take your chicks to a wedding.
Yeah.
Because that's when they want you to marry them.
Oh.
If you're single or you're dating, say, and you take the girlfriend to the wedding. That's the curse. It's the worst thing you can do for your relationship.
Oh, really?
Is take a single girl to a wedding.
Well, the thing is, you know, the problem is when you're together with a girl for a long time and you go to about 5 weddings,
yeah,
then the real heat's on.
Then they want you to get.
Then
yeah,
they start going.
Me and
oh,
my girlfriend have yeah. been to 2 weddings previous to this.
Yeah.
Now the heat is going to be on after this one.
Is that
because I took an ex girlfriend broke up with me the week after a wedding?
Wow, really?
In my yes, in the past, I took a girl to a wedding who broke up with me a week later because we would never be as happy as that couple. Who spent thousands of dollars to look happy for
did
everybody?
They spent $50,000.
Well, yeah, you know what I mean. It's like that thing. It's like, well, of course not.
Yeah.
Of course. Well, I mean, well, why would we look as happy as the couple who just dropped their fucking life savings on suits and bands and light shows and venues to make that look good? Why would we not look that happy?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's silly. It's women bullshit.
Well, and the other thing is that we put some money into it ourselves,
right.
But we're not really paying for everything.
Okay, well, that's good.
So, but we're going to Europe
okay.
on honeymoon. So sure. there goes money. Like
well,
this.
There goes money.
Woo!
Now, let me ask you this. Did you look up
every $8 baguette? Every fucking.
We're down to 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Did you look up about France? Because I know you're going to France.
Yeah.
Like, I was listening to a podcast the other day having nothing to do with you or the show or your wedding.
Yeah.
But they were talking about if you go to France in August that everything's closed.
Is that so?
Do you know anything about that, that they take, like, a month off in France?
Is it all closed?
I don't know, like, the Eiffel Tower is going to be closed, but the guy was talking about, like, I went to the famous ice cream store in France, and they're closed for the month of August.
Really?
And I was like, I don't know what that is. I thought I'd give you
a heads
up.
Well, maybe that's why it was cheap.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe that's I don't know. But like they
well,
France.
we're also going to Amsterdam.
Okay, well that'll be fun. That's always open.
But we could be fucked.
And do you know that you can't buy pot anymore as a foreign national in the coffee shops or something?
Oh, really?
That like you can like you have to buy it like there's some rule. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but it's something about like you have to get weed. Like somebody has to buy the weed for you.
Are you sure?
Yeah, they've changed.
Wait, are you serious?
Coffee shop.
Are you serious? Everything's going to be closed.
I don't look it up. Google it. I'm telling you from the mouth of Leo Laporte on This Week in Tech. Oh. If you go to France,
because I read what I read was that they're like, well, you'll get better deals because it's August.
Right. I don't.
And
know.
It's kind of like the peak season is like June to go to Paris.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just looking up France. France and Paris in August. In August, the French traditionally take their holidays, so you may find some shops particularly closed in the first half of August.
Oh, we're the second half.
Oh, okay. So maybe that's good.
You know what I mean? We'll be there.
Yeah.
It'll be September. It'll be near September. So
let me read some more of this. No, this is not all bad news at all. Northern France tends to migrate south from mid-July and Bastille Day to mid-August.
Mm-hmm.
The advantages are that attractions have longer opening hours and be quieter than July. The south of France is very busy indeed, particularly on the beaches. So I get what they're saying. People leave Paris
right.
for the south. It's sort of like in New York, people leave the city.
They all go down to Burgundy.
They go to the Hamptons. In New York.
They go to Marseille and they go to the
okay,
beach.
Well, that's fine. That's not France in August.
It says mid-August, so we're late August.
Why to go in August? Museums and attractions are open with extended summertime hours. It is still high festival season. Why not to visit France in August? You might get caught up in the crowds of visitors on vacation from the rest of Europe. Paris is particularly empty. So depending on your point of view, you either love it or hate it for this unusual quality. Airfares and lodging can be more expensive, according to that. And it can be really hot in stormy days. Okay, so that's not as doom and gloom.
Okay.
There may be an ice cream store that
well,
won't be open.
Well, you know what? Maybe we'll get to walk around and go, oh.
Yeah. The Louvre will be empty for you.
I'll get to go get to see stuff.
All right, we got to get out of here. I'm blowing up over here, Corey.
All right, later.
Good luck with everything. And
we'll have the wedding recap spectacular.
The wedding recap, the honeymoon.
Well, that'll be another week because I'm going to be out of That'll be out of the country.
Yeah, you know, there may be a Joel Radio in the meantime. I don't want to promise anybody. I know we took about 3 weeks to get to this one.
Yeah, well, you know, go ahead. Knock it out.
Knock it out. Maybe John Tenney, because he's going to be at the wedding.
Oh, good.
John can...
You guys can all bitch about me when I'm not here. Good.
And maybe I'll just have the whole wedding party in here without you, and we can all talk about it.
All right.
All right, we'll catch you next time.
I'm going to go get in training for the Brazil Olympics. I think I can do trampoline.
All right, we're out of here, Joel Radio.
Judo, here I come.
Good luck to Corey Hall on his pending nuptials.
Thank you, sir.
Good luck on me and my girlfriend. not having a giant fight at the wedding and actually making it out. So you may be married and I may be single by the next time.
Place your wagers at 610-552.
It could be a whole new world.
046.
A whole new world on the next show.
There you go.
When you hear us next, it could be crazy. All right. We'll catch you later on Joel Radio. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.